There was complete disorganisation when, everything having been arranged, the squadron put to sea, which happened pretty often, generally around the Dogger Bank or up to the Skagerrak. These sudden moves, the result of some secret information that the enemy were out, seldom resulted in anything beyond hard steaming, usually, it seemed, in bad weather. A return to base in the early hours of the next morning, oil, and resume the broken programme of exercises. Only once, in November 1917, did we surprise the enemy, and he also surprised us, unfortunately. I was in my usual station, 5 miles ahead of the Lion, with the destroyers in anti-submarine formation on my port and starboard quarters screening the battle cruisers. The Courageous, then a cruiser, not yet converted into an aircraft carrier, had been sent ahead with a division of destroyers. A calm morning with a light fog or mist, I had just made out the Courageous, when she opened fire at an unseen enemy and turned to the north. Simultaneously, shells began pitching between the Courageous and my own ship. These shells were definitely coming from the south, so that I could not understand the turn to the north. Courageous may have sighted something invisible to us. There was no doubt of an enemy to the south, although we could see nothing. We increased to full speed and steered south in the direction from which the shells seemed to be coming. Almost immediately, we ran into an artificial smoke screen through which we had made out an enemy minesweeper stopped. I detached a destroyer to take off the crew and sink the ship, while I stood on with the remainder. The enemy fog screen was most efficient, and it was impossible to even make a guess at what was going on. I thought I made out the Onslow, one of the destroyers detached, steaming at high speed, firing her bow guns, evidently chasing something. But the fog shut down again at once, and we saw no more. Shortly after, we received a wireless message from the Lion to return and take up screening stations. There had been a submarine scare, as so often happened, and the squadron had turned away to the north. As we emerged from the smoke, we got a view of Repulse going all out, steering south, and it seemed to us cutting right across the minefield. We still heard heavy firing at intervals. It appeared the High Seas Fleet did commence to come out, and had in fact fired a few shots, one of which found the bridge of the Calypso and killed the captain, H.L. Edwards, one of my team in the Britannia. All day we steamed up and down. The first battle squadron came up in support, but nothing happened. They had gone back to port. To clarify the situation to other than naval readers, it might be as well to explain here that this contact with the enemy took place at the end of the swept channel leading into the Heligoland Bight, and would have been in clear weather, almost in range of the guns of Heligoland. I confess, when the following day on board the Queen Elizabeth, I gathered the C&C was anything but pleased, and I heard him say that the whole lot ought to have been mopped up. It only then dawned on me that the operation had been planned from operation received, that minesweepers were at work each night at the entrance of the channel, returning to harbour each morning. It only then dawned on me that the operation had been planned from information received, that minesweepers were at work each night at the entrance of the channel, returning to harbour each morning. We had been sent to cut them off. Not one word of this had been imparted to me. The destroyers were accustomed to steam with the battle cruisers around the Dogger Bank, at frequent and irregular intervals, generally north. About this time, we went south, but as far as we knew, there was nothing special in view. We were ready at sea for anything, but it so happened as we came out of the smoke screen that day, my rear destroyer sighted and reported 2 more minesweepers. I could easily have detached two more ships had I known the object. As it was, I had been recalled and naturally expected more important work in view. It seemed that although a minor operation, the lack of information was still to be the cause of partial failure, as it had been on the far more important issue of the Battle of Jutland. I never knew, nor do I now, why the Courageous turned north that morning, or why the Calypso and her party stood south, followed apparently by the Repulse. I did know, however, that Sir David was very upset, and it was no time to say someone, presumably the staff and the Lion, had slipped up, and we had no idea what was wanted from us.